Good evening. And I guess that's probably a little bit inappropriate. Merry Christmas. I couldn't see any of you, so I was like, oh, cool. I hope they all stuck around for the music. So my name is Adam Purcell. I am the teaching pastor here at Life Point, and we are really glad that you are here with us this morning. If it's your first time, we want to say a special welcome to you. When you came in, you probably got a listening guide. If you want to connect with us or allow us to follow up with you, we would love to get to know you, to hear your story, and we understand that everyone is in process, right? Every single one of us is somewhere on our journey with this great God who we celebrate at Christmas, the giving of his son to be born. And I don't necessarily need to know where you are. I don't know where a lot of you are, but if you're interested in continuing the conversation, we would love to connect with you. And you can take a connection card or a guest information card in your listening guide and drop that out at Guest Central or drop it into one of the black boxes that you'll see on your way out. But we truly, truly are glad that you are here to celebrate Christmas with us this evening. And so we are really wrapping up a series that we started three Sundays ago, I guess it was, called Humble Beginnings. And the idea with this series is that we have been looking at the women in the genealogy of Jesus and what we've discovered really through each week, less so tonight, but each week we've discovered that just like your family, Jesus's family was pretty messed up. There were a lot of pretty messed up people in the genealogy of Jesus, and we've taken comfort in the reality that God can redeem any story, your story, my story, God can redeem it. And what we've said every single week, and if you're interested in taking notes, and I get it, it's Christmas Eve, you're like, notes? I'm not taking notes. That's fine. I get it. We love you regardless. But if you're interested in taking notes, the first thing in your listening guide, which there will just be two things, is that Christmas is a love story. And if you don't get anything else that we talk about tonight, I hope that you hear us say this to you. Christmas, it truly is a love story. And like any love story that you've experienced or seen on the screen or read in a book, love stories are often messy. There's maybe some mystery as to whether the people will end up together or not. And maybe there's some discord and then some running away and there's some fighting. And there's just love stories can be messy. And Christmas is similar to that. Christmas is a love story. The scriptures tell us in John chapter 3, verse 16, possibly the most well-known verse in the scriptures, I agree. No! Just kidding. So the scriptures tell us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but would have eternal life. And what that passage is telling us is that God loves the world. The word that John uses there means people, right? Like, God loves the individual people and the conglomeration of people in the world. God loves me, and God loves you. And he loves you and I so, so very much that he sent his son, Jesus the Christ, to be born God and man. Yes, that's true. But eventually, as we just sung a moment ago, to bear the penalty for our sin on the cross and to conquer death by his resurrection so that anyone who believes in him, anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus, wouldn't perish, but would have everlasting life. God very much wants you and I to trust his son Jesus and to be swept up into his eternal love story. The analogies that the scripture gives, they give the analogy of us, anyone who has trusted Christ, being his bride. And so there's a love covenant forever relationship with God that you and I are offered. One of the other analogies that's used in the scripture is that of adoption. God is offering, through your trust of his son Jesus, to adopt you as his son or daughter into his forever family. And that is a beautiful opportunity that each of us get. Christmas, it's a love story. And we're here to celebrate that love story tonight. And so tonight we're going to look at probably the least messed up of all the women in Jesus' genealogy, and definitely the most famous, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so I'm going to pray for us as we jump into Luke chapter 2 here in a moment. If you have an actual book Bible, that'd be crazy, right? Some of you have some of those things still. You can open up to Luke chapter 2. We'll be there in a minute. Some of you have phones. Those are cool. There's Bibles on those too, and the words will be on the screens as well if you just want to do that. So let's pray together, please, as we jump into the Word of God. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here together this evening. Father, to celebrate and to sing to you and about you, acknowledging that, God, you are so worthy of our time. You're worthy of our song. You're worthy of our worship. And God, you love us. Christmas is this great love story where we're reminded that you love us, that you moved first, that you sent your son so that we might know you through trusting him. Father, as we open your word tonight, we acknowledge to you, I acknowledge to you that I need your help to do this well. And we acknowledge to you together that we don't want to just be here doing some religious stuff on Christmas Eve, but God, we truly want to encounter you, to come to know you more, to learn to love you more, and to see how truly beautiful you are. And God, we need your help to do that. So please give us that help tonight. We pray all of this in your Son, Jesus the Christ's holy name. Amen. So looking in Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 4 through 20, which I think will be familiar. It's one of the kind of quintessential Christmas passages. Starting in verse 4, it says, "And Joseph also went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another," which makes sense. If you were visited by a chorus of angels saying that something cool was happening in Bethlehem, you'd probably say something like this: "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And I just have to stop for a second. I had to chuckle a little bit. So my wife and I, we have three children. And can you imagine, maybe you have kids, maybe you don't, how would you like it if, you know, 30 minutes, 5 hours, half a day, I mean, it's still nighttime, right? If a group of smelly farmer dudes came just like rolling into the maternity ward and said, "Hey, we heard there's a baby here." I mean, this is a story. The story is miraculous just because these shepherds lived to tell the story, right? Like, it's amazing that Mary didn't kill them when they, maybe you didn't have that experience. Anyways, so miracles all over the place in the scriptures. And so they go with haste and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And verse 17 says, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, which is that he is the Savior, Christ the Lord. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." And as I've been studying this passage this week, and the thought that occurred to me and was a question that I spent some time just kind of wrestling with and thinking about really comes from Mary's response to this announcement that was made in the maternity ward, in the barn, in Bethlehem, almost 2,000 years ago. These smelly, low-class dudes come rolling in. They're strangers to her, and they make an announcement. They say, and they tell this crazy story. They say, "Hey, we were in the fields, and at first there was just an angel, and he said that there's a baby in Bethlehem who would look exactly like your baby and will be wrapped in a manger just like your baby is, and the angel told us that this baby was the King, the Lord, Christ, the Lord." And so we came, and these people are strangers, right? But they're there, and they have this crazy story about angels and who this baby will one day be, and the people who hear it, they're just struck with wonderment. They're like, "Oh, wow, that's pretty interesting." And then Mary, we get a peek into her heart and her head, and it says that Mary treasured up these things and was pondering them in her heart. And the question that came to mind as I read that was, what do I treasure? What do you, Adam, what do you treasure? And as I thought about the Christmas season, I think the Christmas season has a special capacity to help us get in touch with and maybe in tune with the things that we really do treasure. I thought about the things that I treasure during the Christmas season, and maybe you could think of these things as existing kind of in the past or the present or the future, and I'll be honest with you, right now my present tense is pretty great, and so I tend to have a lot of treasuring in the present tense, and so I treasure my family, my wife, and my kids. I treasure them. I treasure the Christmas season, the songs, and if I'm being honest, the capacity to consume and provide gifts for my kids probably more than it's good for them, and I might end up spoiling them, and hopefully not, but you know, I enjoy that. That's something in my heart that I treasure. I treasure my extended family, most of whom are still alive and in good health, and I'll get to spend a lot of time with them because we're all more or less in this particular area, and that's something that my heart treasures because things are pretty good for me right now. And you may or may not be in that boat. You may have a lot of pain and perhaps bitterness right now because the things that you treasure feel future to you, whether that's spouse and kids or health or someone coming home or someone leaving home, or you know, the future is where your treasure is and present tense is a little bit bitter, or maybe the past, that's where your treasure lies, and you wish that things were like they used to be, but they're not, and you know it, and what happens in your heart in the present tense is some sadness, some bitterness, and Christmas is that, but Christmas, it's putting you in touch, probably, because Christmas is supposed to be magical, and if it's not for you, it's maybe putting you in touch with what you really treasure. And what I have been reminded of this week, as I thought about getting to speak with you all about Jesus for just a few minutes, is that like my family and consuming, like getting presents for other people and the food and the fun and all these things that I'm going to get to enjoy this evening as we leave and through the next several days, those are all good things. But they can't compete in my heart for the ultimate place, the thing that I treasure more than anything else. And the same is true for you. Whether you would say, yes, I treasure Jesus, like Mary is described as doing, or whether you would not say that yet. So let's press pause on that for just a second. We'll come back to that question here in a minute. The other question that came to mind as I thought about getting to speak with you this evening is, not what do we treasure, but what does God treasure? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the question, what does God treasure? The scripture doesn't really use that word about God, but you know, the way we use the word treasure, maybe a synonym would be, what does God love? What does God care about? What gets God excited? And the scriptures tell us that one of the answers is you. He loves you. Christmas, it's a love story. And God is inviting every single one of us to make Jesus our treasure. And some of you, you may feel like you're too far gone or you could never do that. You know what's something else that God loves, that God treasures? The scriptures tell us that anytime someone who's walking the wrong direction takes advantage of the second chance God is offering through his son Jesus, you know what happens in heaven? It's a party. They go crazy over one sinner who turns around, who repents, is the word that the scriptures use. So if you're asking the question, what does God treasure? He treasures you. In particular, you and I treasuring him, turning around and going towards him. And I want you to know, whether you believe it's true or not, you might be like the people in the room and you're like, man, that's a crazy story. I'm gonna kind of be amazed by that and wonder about that, and maybe that's as far as you get tonight, and that's okay. But I want you to know that that the scriptures declare about you and me, that God loves us. And nobody is too far past the ability to turn around, to make Jesus our greatest treasure, and to find life in him. And that's really the message of Christmas, is that the world is being offered a second chance, you and I, and we need it, right? We need a second chance. And God says, you got it. Just trust my son, Jesus. Make him the answer to the question, what do you treasure? You can still like other stuff. I'm still going to walk out of here loving my wife, loving my kids, super pumped to eat the delicious stuff that is waiting in my home as we speak. Actually, let's get out of here. No, I'm just kidding. We don't want to go yet, but I'm still going to like and enjoy all of those things. But the filter through which I experience the present, which right now for me is pretty awesome, and my past and my future will be Jesus the Christ. He is my ultimate treasure, and he deserves to be yours, and I hope you make him yours. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here together tonight. And God, I confess to you that there are so many things during the Christmas season and during every other season of the year that compete in my heart to be my ultimate treasure. And God, I'm thankful for second chances, because Father, I need a second chance. So Father, I pray that you would help me and everyone in the room to treasure your son Jesus more than anything else in the world. Father, I pray that you would help us to see that you're in the business of offering second chances. You're in the business of changing lives. And all we have to do is trust you, to call upon the name of Jesus, the baby in the manger who ended up being nailed to a cross, who ended up conquering death, who's now seated at your right hand, waiting to come again. Father, we look forward to that day when he does come again. But between now and then, help us to treasure more than anything you, your name, your glory, your fame, and the salvation that you freely offer us through your son, Jesus. Father, as we leave here in just a few moments, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to work on our hearts, that you would continue to give us joy in your son. Father, for those people who are here who they would say they don't yet treasure your son, Jesus, I pray that tonight they would make that decision, that they would say yes to you for the first time. And God, that you would flood their life, their heart, with joy and love, experiencing your presence, your sweet presence, for the first time. And God, for the rest of us who we already know you, we already love you, God, as we walk through this evening, God, help us to stop, to pause and reflect on how good you are and where our treasure has been. We pray all of this in your son, Jesus the Christ's holy name.